Well, we're studying the whole subject of rewards, and sometimes there's confusion on the idea of rewards because people, there's some people who say, well, why would you get rewards and why should you get rewards? And there's some people who say, well, why would I serve God and get rewards? It seems selfish. God tells us to get rewards. We looked at 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, where he said, run the race so that you can get the prize. We said that it was very important that you make the distinction between salvation and discipleship. Salvation costs you nothing. It's a gift. Discipleship cost you your life. Discipleship is where we're dealing with rewards. There are some people who get confused and they think salvation is the reward for living good. It is not. Salvation is a gift. Rewards are what you get as you live good, as you live righteously and godly as a believer. In our study, and I think that on the top of that page, we've been talking about rewards and just kind of give you a little background. We saw the contrast between salvation and discipleship, the charge to get rewards. And then we said getting rewards, and there are two big areas. There's the place for rewards and the basis for rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10, go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. 2 Corinthians 5:10, and we talked about where do we get rewards. This is the place of rewards. And I want you to, you'll just stay in this little section, but in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let me remind you of something, that believers, all of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, one day, you will stand before your Savior. It has nothing to do with your eternal life or your salvation. That's already determined. Eternal life is determined by faith in Christ. When you believe in Jesus, you have salvation. It is that simple. People don't always teach that. People don't always say that. There are people who say things like you can lose your salvation, or you've got to do certain things, or you've got to keep doing things. They're wrong. They are wrong. Salvation is a gift by faith in Christ, and you're saved and you're saved forever. When you stand before Jesus Christ, it has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with your rewards. And that's why we're talking about the place. I've got two places listed there, Revelation 20:11 and 2 Corinthians 5:10. Revelation 20:11 is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's for unbelievers when they stand before Jesus Christ. That's not for us. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is for us. And I don't even know. The next slide talks about this whole idea of whatever you sow, you reap. That's what's going to happen. When you stand before Jesus Christ, how you lived for Him, how you served Him is going to be the basis of rewards. I'm not sure. Do we have another verse? Was there Romans 14? Yeah, Romans 14, I think, is right after that. Romans 14, 10, 11 and 12 basically says you'll stand before the judgment seat of God. Each man will give an account of himself. So that's the place, judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm going to explain it better in details in just a second, but the judgment seat of Christ does not mean a bad place like judgment, like I'm going to tell you how wrong you are. The judgment seat of Christ actually means a rewarding place, a rewarding stand. We talked about this last week. Some of you weren't here. Maybe you've been gone for the summer. I want to remind you of something. You will never stand before Jesus Christ to answer for your sins. You will never stand before Jesus Christ and your sins be brought up and reminding you of all the bad you had done. You know why? Because the sins, your sins, in fact, the sins of every human being have been placed where? On Jesus Christ. When you stand before Christ, it has nothing to do with your sins. So take comfort in the fact that when you stand before Christ, it's not a place where, and I've had people say, you know, one day you're going to stand before God, it's going to be like a big screen, and everything you'd ever done wrong is going to be flashed on that screen. No, it's not. What's going to be flashed on that screen, if there is a screen, will be everything that you did for the glory of God. Everything that you did that He's going to reward you for. Now we know that according to 1 John 2:8 says that you could be ashamed at His coming. Because when the screen shows stuff, you could go, where is the movie? There's not any. Oh, thanks. You know, you could be ashamed at His coming. But the goal and the dream is you hear Him say, well done. Well done. With that in mind, we go to B, which is the top of the next page, 1 Corinthians 4:2, and we talk about the basis for rewards. What is the basis for rewards? And the key word you can write there is the word faithfulness. Faithfulness is the basis for your rewards, your faithfulness. Do you remember last week, and we won't take the time to go there, but I've got written for you Matthew chapter 20. There was a parable that Jesus told. And you remember what I taught last week, that a word parable comes from a Greek word parabole. Para means beside. Bole means to throw, or balo, as the Greek word means to throw. So a parable is something that is thrown beside to help you understand it. So a parable is a story that Jesus would tell to make a point, to teach a point. Sometimes there's more than one point, but usually when you look at a parable, you try to say, what is the main point? If you remember last week in Matthew chapter 20, an owner went out early in the morning to say, I need somebody to work in my field. And there would be people gather in the center of the town, usually needing work. And he said, I need some people to go work for me. If you work for me today, I'll give you a denarius, which means one day's wages. And people went. He came back later at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he found some more people. And he said, you guys want to work? And they said, yeah. And he said, I'll give you what's right. And then he came back at 12, and he came back at 3, and he came back at 5, right before the day was over. And he got people every time. And each time he said, I'll give you what's right. When the end of the day was over, he said, line them up in the opposite order. The people I hired last, I'm going to pay them first. And as they got paid a denarius. One guy worked 1 hour, and he got paid a day's wage. And he went, thank you. And then the next guy, the guys in the back were going, what are they getting up there? They're getting a denarius? Hey, we worked all day long. We're going to get more than a denarius. What did they agree to work for? A denarius. When they got up there, he said, here's your denarius. And they went, whoa, wait a minute. Those guys got a denarius. We worked the whole day and you gave them a denarius. He said, what did I promise you? A denarius? He said, look, if I want to be generous and give to them what I choose to give, that's my money. I can do whatever I want to with it. Now, people get confused on the parable. What's it all about? But I think the basic principle of the parable is this. It's not how long you work. It's your faithfulness. Because see, the bottom line, and I think a principle is, if a person trusted Christ when they were 12 and they served Jesus Christ for 90 years and then they died, what about the person who trusted Christ when he was 12 and he died at age 25 and he served God for those years? Well, he could say to God, that's not fair. You didn't give me but like 12 or 13 or 14 years. You gave that guy 80 or 90 years. He had a lot more time to serve you. And God says, no, it's not based on amount of time. It's based on faithfulness. That's why I think in the parable they all get the same thing, because they were faithful to work in the time that they had to work. So when you start thinking about your service for Christ, the bottom line is, are you faithful in the time and the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given you while you are here? Because none of us are going to live the same amount of time. None of us have the same gifts. None of us have the same opportunities. He gives some opportunities to do one thing. He gives some others opportunities to do something else. And so you can't say, that's not fair. That person got to stand up and do this and this and this, and this person was way over here. We've got a good friend. He's going to be here tonight. His name is Dale McFerrin. He's been in Slovenia for a long time. He led our music here about 18 years ago, and he and I have been friends all these years. He's been in Slovenia, and let me tell you, he's been there for a long time. And how many people has he seen come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? It is a very hard culture, very difficult culture to reach. But guess what? Dale Bob, that's what we call him. His name's Dale Ferrum. We call him Dale Bob. Dale Bob has been faithful all those years. Some could say, well, there's a person over here and he's led 27 people to Christ, and Dale Bob's been there for 11 years and he's seen 3 people trust Christ. Well, Dale Bob's not going to get near as much as this guy. No, it has no bearing on it. Faithfulness wherever you are, whatever your gifts are, whatever time God gives you. So the key for this whole thing is to be found faithful. That's why I got at the top of that thing. It says 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, brothers, is required of stewards to be found faithful. And that's the key. Now, with that in mind, let's go a little further. If you have, remember in our class, if you got questions, comments, you just stop me. Just say, I've got a question or a comment or whatever, and we'll talk about it. We're not on a particular time schedule, so our class can be whatever you want to do. Any questions or anything about what we've talked about so far? Okay, now let's look as we continue on. I think that we'll see what I consider a key key verse. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I don't know if the next slide has it. 2 Corinthians 5:9, and it talks about our ambition. Look at 5:9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, which means our goal, our plan, is that whether home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. And home is home with the Lord, absent. Whenever we stand before Christ, whatever we're doing, we want to be pleasing to Him. Our goal is that we live on this earth, we're pleasing to God. So we, right now, if you said, what about your life? Stop and think of your life for just a second. Would you say that your life is pleasing to God, that you're doing the things that you think God wants you to do, that if right now it was all over and suddenly you stood before Him, do you think He would say, well done? Now, people get, you know, bent out of shape, and I've talked about it last week, and I want to highlight this again. Some people think that the rewards you get are only when you're doing something like in a church, or you're like you're doing a Bible study, or you're sharing your faith, or you know. Let me tell you, any time you use your gifts, talents, and abilities, and the power of the Holy Spirit representing your Savior, whether it's at your work or in your neighborhood or wherever you are, you are going to be rewarded. There's that passage that says, if you give a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ to somebody, you'll never lose your reward. So don't think, well, I got to teach a Sunday school class, or I got to be involved in something, or else I'll never get anything. As you go through life representing Jesus Christ, using the gifts, talents, and abilities that He's given you, you're going to be rewarded. So I, when you stand before Christ, I hope He says to you and to me, well done. Well done. He's going to say to some business people, you were incredible in that office. You were incredible as you did this. You touched this life and this life. You were a great testimony of Christ. And you say, well, I never even had a Bible study there. I never did. Yes, but you were a faithful witness of Jesus Christ. So it's wherever you are. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want to serve and be involved in ministries in a local church, because that's how the church functions, and that's how we train and equip people to do ministry. But don't think that's the only place that this happens. It happens everywhere in every way. He says, this is our goal. This is our goal and our ambition, that whether we're home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Our goal is to be pleasing to Him. He has saved us. He wants us to be accountable. We want our lives to count for Him. Now, here's the key. And I think I have there four. I think, would you go back one just for a second? For 2 Corinthians 5:10 starts with a four, which is going to give us an explanation. Notice verse 9 says that we want to be pleasing to Him. Why do we want to be pleasing to Him? For, here's the explanation. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether they're good or bad. The truth is, we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. There are three keys there. I don't know if we have them all at one time. We'll give them to you one at a time. The first of the keys is that there is a necessity for this accounting. We're going to all appear. And the best that I can tell, you're not going to appear with a group. How'd we do? Excuse me. Go ahead. Now it's you. Oh, we will all appear. You will appear. He says, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The second one, can we show it and then we'll come back, that the purpose for all this is rewards. The purpose for all of this is rewards. When you stand before Him, the purpose is to be rewarded. And then last but not least, the third thing is the evaluation. The evaluation is your works. Now, we'll come back and get details on that. In fact, if you can go back to number one again. And we don't have any other slides. Is that the big three there? Okay. So the first one is there's going to be a necessity. I think on the top of the next page, we must stand. Here's number one. There is a necessity. Now, there are times in my life that I would say, I don't think I really want to stand before Him. How do you feel right now about standing before the living God? How would we feel right now if Jesus Christ appeared right here, right now? What would we do? We'd all be on our faces and we'd be going, oh my gracious, He's the living God and He's all powerful, He knows everything, and we don't deserve to be in His presence. And yet He says, I'm going to let you stand before me. You will stand before. There is this necessity that every one of us will stand before Jesus Christ. Now, make sure that you understand this, that every human being is going to stand before Christ. Every human being, both believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers will stand before Him. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's why the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Every, not just believers. It's not just believers who stand before Christ and say, you are the living God and we worship you and love you. Unbelievers will stand before the living God. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. Because He's God. So there's going to be a time that each one of us, you know, we belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, our body, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own, so we're to glorify Him. So the very first thing is we must stand. Here's the second thing. The purpose, the key, is the reward. We're going to be rewarded. Not judgment in the sense of sins, but judgment. Look, notice what he says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment is bima, and it means rewarding stand. You're going to be rewarded. This is not a time of sin. This is a time of rewards. Notice he goes on to say that each one may be recompensed. The word recompense in the Greek means to be given back. It's like you did something for God. You served Him, and He said, okay, thank you. Now I'm going to give this back to you. Now, we're going to talk about in the next 2 to 3 weeks the whole idea of these crowns. And what is the crown? Because there's talking about the crown of righteousness and the crown of life and the crown of glory. And we hear people say all the time, well, you know, one day when you stand before Jesus, you're going to have a crown on, but you're going to take your crown and you're going to give it back to Him. Now, is that what that passage is talking about in Revelation? Where there's 24 people around the throne and the 24 elders are there and they have crowns and they lay their crowns before Jesus. Is that symbolic of all believers taking the rewards that God gives them and gives them back to Him? We'll just have to see. We'll have to see when we get over there. What is it talking about? How does it fit? So there is this aspect that you're going to be rewarded. He is the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. We're going to be rewarded for the things that we have done. And the third thing. Oh, you need another one. I'm sorry. That's okay. The third thing is the evaluation based on our works. Now, in a church like ours, and in a church that, and I call it a biblical church that holds to the grace message, when you talk about salvation, and you talk, say, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy does He save us. When we say, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves to get to God, not of works, and you just go verse after verse after verse, and you hear the fact that it's not works, it's not works, it's not works, it's not works. Sometimes people tend to think works are not important because it's not works. It's not works for salvation. But it is works for rewards. So how you live and what you do is a basis for your rewards. And so the evaluation is based on works. Notice verse 10 again. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may be recompensed, given back for His deeds, works in the body, according to what He has done, whether good or bad. And when I've talked about this before, when it says good or bad, the word bad there means worthless. It means like bad fruit. It means something that you say, I don't want that. So there'll be works that you have done that will be good works that you'll be rewarded for. There'll be works that you've done that are rotten. That he says, I'm sorry, that, you know, those are worthless. I use the example of you're going to help this person across the street. And maybe an older person, you say, let me help you go across the street. And as you help that person across the street, you're saying, I'm helping this person across the street. Everybody's looking at me. They think I'm a great person because I'm helping this little person across the street. And so I'm a great person. That's worthless. You did a good deed. It's worthless. You help that person across the street and you're not even thinking about that. You're saying, you know, God loves you and I love you. And it's all, that's going to be a reward. So there are going to be things that you have done that are good things that are worthless because of your motive. So he says, each one of us will be recompensed for the deeds done in this body according to what he's done, whether good or worthless. Now, how does this fit? I want you to see it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want us to see if we at least get this part today. And then we'll get the last part next time and get into the next study. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to see the whole idea of the rewards. and how this works. He uses an analogy in 1 Corinthians 3. Most of you have been taught this and you know this. But he uses this picture and he says, your judgment of your rewards, the judgment of your works that you've done are going to be like things set on fire. It's like you're going to bring your good deeds and set them up, or your deeds and set them up. And then he's going to set them on fire. And whatever lasts, you get rewarded for. Whatever gets burned up and is gone, you don't get a reward for it. And he starts off by saying there's a foundation to all this, and the foundation is Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ, and then you build on that foundation. And he uses the analogy. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:11. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The first foundation is you believe in Jesus Christ. That's your foundation for your service. And then he says, now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, he's using a picture. He's saying, okay, you're building, you're doing good, you're doing deeds. Some deeds are gold, silver, precious stone. Some deeds are wood, hay, and straw. Watch what happens. Each man's work will become evident. The word evident means clearly seen. How will it be clearly seen? Notice what he says. Each man's work will become evident for that day, or for the day will reveal it. What day? Sometimes it's called the day of Christ. Sometimes it's just called the day in which you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I think he's saying the day you stand there, this day is going to be evident how your works are. He says that day will reveal it or show it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. He says he's going to set on fire the gold, silver, precious stone, the wood, hay, and the straw. Notice, if any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. That's verse 14. If it remains, you get a reward. He's using this analogy. Now people say, will it really be fire? And will it look like gold, silver, and precious stone? Will it look like wood, hay, and straw? I don't know. He's just using this picture. And he says, you got this foundation and you're building on it with gold, silver, and precious stone, and wood, hay, and straw. And when you bring your works to God, when you stand before Him, they're going to be set on fire. And if something's left, guess what? You get a reward. Notice what he says. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer what? Loss. It didn't say you're not going to heaven. It says you'll suffer loss, yet he himself will be what? Saved. He wanted to make it very clear. Yet as so through fire. He says, I just want you to know, when you stand before Jesus Christ, there's going to be an accounting. He uses the analogy of a fire, and he uses the analogy of wood, hay, and straw, and gold, silver, and precious stone. If you serve God, if you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, whether it's giving water to somebody, whether it's doing great with your neighbors, whether it's being a great person in your office, whether it's teaching a Bible study, whether it's leading somebody to Christ, whether it's cooking somebody a meal, it doesn't matter what it is, that's gold, silver, precious stone. You're going to be rewarded. If you live not in the power of the Holy Spirit, or if you do something with the wrong motive, regardless of what it is, it's going to be wood, hay, or straw, and it's not going to last, and you're not going to be rewarded. That's kind of hard for us to put together. And we say, well, how do we even know? Well, the goal is just say, I'm going to live my life for the glory of God, and everything I try to do, I just want to be in fellowship with Him. I want to live by the Word, and I just want to serve Him. And I will leave the accounting up to Him. We saw 2 weeks ago that the idea that Paul says, I can't even judge my own motives. You don't know what your motives are on everything. Paul says, I don't even judge my own motives. The Lord will judge it when all time comes. Notice, and this is, you just got to see this. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians, I know the bell rang, but you've got to see this verse. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 and 5. He's talking about judging even himself. And he says, I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I'm not acquitted, because the one who really examines me is the Lord. Then he says in verse 5, therefore, don't go passing judgment before the time. Don't judge other people. Don't even judge your own self, because he's going to bring the hidden motives to light. And then notice how he ends the verse, which is very encouraging. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. I believe that whatever you've done in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be gold, you're going to get rewarded, and he's going to praise you. That's what's going to happen. Now, we may all be ashamed as well, and there may be a lot of stuff just burned right on up, and we'd say, boy, I wish that hadn't happened. Yeah, we do. But we can decide today that from this moment, that we want to live in such a way that Jesus Christ gets the glory and that we hear Him say, well done. But that was the second bell, am I right? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, here's what we'll do. Notice the key word. The key word is faithfulness. We'll touch on that next week. I'll give you just a few of the applications, and then we'll have lesson 3 on rewards, and we're going to get into some great stuff. It's going to get some theological stuff, too, so it'll be fun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank you, Lord, that one day we'll stand before you, and it'll be tested, and it'll be evident. And anything that we've done in the power of the Holy Spirit for your honor and your glory will be gold, silver, and precious stone, and we'll be rewarded. And we'll hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We'll have praise from you. Lord, we know things that we haven't done in the power of the Holy Spirit, things that we've done with the wrong motive, even if it's a good work, it'll be like gold, wood, hay, and straw, and it'll be burned up, and we won't receive a reward. And we might, and we probably will be ashamed then. But Lord, thank you that this is not the basis of eternal life. That comes simply as a gift by faith. But this is basis for rewards and service for you for all eternity. May we be faithful men and women seeking to live for you right now so we can hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.